Hello, and welcome to the Unlearning Podcast, a show about unlearning self-limiting beliefs, coping with anxiety, and healing through self-love. I'm Jenna Slaughter, self-love coach, recovered people pleaser, and mental health enthusiast. And every other week, I'm going to bring you a topic or guest that is going to help you reshape how you experience the world, unlearn the ways you've been playing small, and send love to the places that need it the most. Are you ready? Let's get into it. On this week's episode, we are going to be talking about the second part of bullying and its effects in adulthood. In the last episode, we talked about my experience, how it's manifested for me in adulthood, and some suggested healing exercises. If you haven't listened to that episode, I suggest that you go back before listening to this one. You ready? Okay. Go on. And then come back. And then we'll do it here. It'll be great. This week, we are going to be primarily talking about the problems with judgment. Judgment of ourselves and judgments of other people. Last week, we had talked about how our deepest fear that's rooted in our DNA is the fear of being alone. We are social creatures, and we have been since the beginning of civilization. The problem with judgment is it is all rooted in this primary us versus them mentality. And it's rooted in the idea that there is one right way or a wrong way for somebody to live their lives. Now, there are helpful benefits from judgment. Don't get me wrong. Like deep-seated, you know, judgments of these berries that we found on the side of the road are not safe because they look this way with this color and this shape. Those are helpful judgments. But judgments that are related to who we are as a person and our self-worth, not helpful judgments. What's interesting is in our brain, when we decide something, our brain doesn't like to be wrong. So it will search out things to prove that judgment, that perception right. And it also doesn't like to be hypocritical. So when we ascribe to a belief like, say, women should shave their legs all of the time, otherwise they are disgusting. When we ascribe to that belief, we then equally judge ourselves in that way. So what is reflected inward is reflected outward. So when I see somebody that is incredibly judgmental, I mean, unless they are an absolute diagnosed narcissist, they are equally judging themselves as harshly. And it insinuates now for me, it triggers me and my compassion because I feel genuinely really sad for the pain and the struggle that somebody that is really judgmental towards other people is carrying around for themselves. Now, that's my personal take on it. That's not to say that whatever it triggers within somebody else is not equally valid. I just want to clarify that. So taking that concept of what is reflected inward is reflected outward, we can use this with ourselves to kind of check in with that self-talk. So one, tapping into and just recognizing and bringing to consciousness that internal dialogue that is happening. Then let's notice where these judgmental thoughts are coming up. If you're having them more with certain people, or if you have friends that are just want to vent, but a lot of the times when people are saying that they just want to vent, usually that's also coming with like a lot of like judgment of other people. So just be mindful of where you are being triggered into that like judgmental mindset. What happened prior? Where did that come from? What is it that you are judging for? You know, I can't believe that they would, or I shouldn't, or they shouldn't, or notice where those are coming up. And then ask yourself, where is this rooted? Sometimes I ask, you know, where did I first hear this? Who does this benefit? And is this for the greater good? Or is this from conditioning that I have been given as a child? Just ask yourself these things to figure out the background, not just the conclusion. I came to this conclusion of women need to shave their legs, otherwise they're gross. Coming to that conclusion with that belief, asking, where did this come from? Oh, well, I was told this as a teenager. Where did I first hear this? Oh, all of the commercials that I saw, you know, that you have to, you know, try to be this hairless goddess to be able to be attractive. Is this for the greatest good or is this my conditioning? Now, at this point, we're at a crossroads and I can easily say that this isn't for my greatest good and the greatest good of other people because it really doesn't matter and doesn't adjust anybody's self-worth based on the amount of body hair they do or don't have. So at that crossroads, I'm going to choose to release that belief. You can choose to keep or you can choose to release as you kind of go through these checkboxes of what it is that you want to keep. And if I have a belief that is not rooted in love and rooted in the greatest good for everyone and for myself, then I need to release that. It's my duty to. So that way I can realign with love and I can realign with flow and the universe and I can embody my highest evolvement, right? So thought choice, that's really what that comes down to, is being able to get a little bit of distance between what the thought that you're having and then look at the context behind it. Where did it come from? And then take on that power that you have the power to decide whether it stays or goes. That also couples with the concept that I had talked about in the last episode about when we are releasing something, focusing on what it is that we are making space for. So I may be making space for grace and love for myself and my body as it is naturally. I mean, this is just one example, but I wanted to use an example so that way it becomes clearer how this can kind of work in practice. And that's exactly what it is. It is a practice. It's like a muscle over time. You audit, you store, you release, and you consciously choose beliefs that are rooted in love. And the effect of releasing judgment over time is moving from resentment and jealousy to love, curiosity, grace, and forgiveness. And like I said earlier, what is reflected inward is reflected outward. When we have more grace for ourselves, we're able to give that to other people and vice versa. The same goes for the love, curiosity, forgiveness. As we do this work internally, it also floods out to our relationships too. And you become different because you're having an entirely different dialogue inside. You're having an entirely different experience inside. So to someone disagreeing with you, you're able to hear more of what that person is saying. Because when we take out judgment of ourselves and others, we take out the attack. When we take out the attack, we take out the danger. When we take out the danger and the stress response, all of a sudden, we can access totally different parts of our brain. And hormonally, it's an entirely different cocktail going on in the brain. So it is an entirely different experience. When we access those different parts of our brain, that's the part that thinks long term, the part that is compassionate, the part that problem solves. When we are in a stress response, our brainstem is acting as a one-stop shop CEO that does not call meetings and only calls the shots, does not want to hear anybody else's input, just has his one guy that comes and tells him what's up. He decides the best route of action, does not consult anybody else, and goes. When something is going through our central nervous system and we are concerned about our safety, which it kicks into effect a lot because this part of our brain was created when we were mere cavemen. It grew out that, like, they, you know, how we say higher part of our brain, it's literally both physically higher, but also a higher level of functioning that did not develop until later on as our species developed. So basically my gist here is that the part that has that long-term, that compassionate, that problem-solving thinking, those are the parts that we want to have access to and really can make intense situations go entirely differently. Those are the parts that we want to access and have access to all the time. But when we're in that stress response and that CEO is saying, no, nobody else gets input, I'm just making this happen, that's when erratic behavior can happen. That's when overreactions can happen. And it's our job to be able to help massage our nervous system out of that, to say, I am okay, I am safe, I am home, and to take that kind of control back over and say, no, sir, actually, we are going to talk with everybody about the decision here. We are going to, you know, bring our reason and our compassion and our problem solving to the table. It's not just you, buddy. Just take a seat. It's not that we are in a fight with this stress response. We are merely learning how to work with them. Give them a seat at the table, but don't let them be the first, last, and middle decision maker. I want to shift gears a little bit away from the central nervous system and kind of neurologically what's going on inside to an overall concept that releases a lot of judgment and released a lot of judgment for me, is that the releasing the idea that we know what's best for other people. I do this by really reflecting that everybody is living in their own movie and everybody is their own main character. So as soon as you can, as an individual, recognize that you are just merely one of billions of equally valid experiences and needs and desires that are happening in this world, then you can have a lot more compassion for the other person and approach, if there is a choice that they made that negatively affected you, you can ask and inquire and figure out what need of theirs they were trying to fill in making that choice. Once I really took on that filter that everybody is living in their own movie, that everybody is having to do what's best for them, it was so freeing. By releasing this idea of, and it's really truly an egotistical idea of, like, ourself being the main character and there not being all of these other people having these equally valid experiences, that shift, it's so freeing because it gives out the idea that, like, I may not understand why somebody made a decision that they make for their lives, but I bet that it was the best decision for them. It also takes out this, like, one-track life escalator, this idea of normal, this, like, striving for ideals that we have. It shatters that perception when you fully can realize and fully appreciate all of the beautiful ways that people are able to navigate the world, and ways that they are navigating is 150% perfect for them and where they are on their path right now. By releasing that, like, striving for normal, that, like, trying to, like, fit in, this, it's an entire myth fitting in, because we are all wired to be different individuals. We are entirely unique. So trying to all be the same is just utterly silly to think about, because we are all wired to be entirely our own human. So by releasing that, like, idea that there's this one path life and trying to fit in, I have felt so much more confident in forging my own, in making the decisions for myself and my life that are going to really add value for me, even if, and especially if, those are different than what other people would choose for themselves or for me. Now, there are some ways that we can actually stop ourselves from pursuing something just because of that judgmental voice that's inside. And honestly, what I actually did, and I recommend to other people, is I kind of characterized that judgmental voice. They have a different tone than my higher self. I know it. They come in at a much faster pace. They come basically busting in the door to tell me, you know, self-limiting or self-deprecating things right after my higher self is like, ooh, hit of inspiration. This judgmental ego voice, they are well-intended, and I don't want to just talk shit about her, because her desire is coming from ego, coming from trying to keep us safe and alive. Her idea of safety is what we've already done. That's not changing. That is, the universe itself is always changing, always expanding. So her trying to keep things to be representative of what we've already done or what we've already had, or to keep them without changing, is actually against the rules of nature. It's against the laws of the universe to try and stay the same. So I can recognize and I can appreciate her for trying to keep my body alive and trying to like keep us safe, but also recognize that she, again, has a seat at the table, but she doesn't get to make the choices. I'm able to hear her and see her for the ways that she shows up with the conditioning that I still need to work on. And the way that she shows up and like gives me those opportunities to heal, those opportunities to realize that there's still pain for me to work on. And I can appreciate that of her without giving weight to what it is that she's saying, you know? Before we close out this episode, I want to give to you just one more tool, one more little check-in that you can use with yourself to work on releasing that judgment for other people. The way that this came into play for me was actually in regards to driving. It's been a really beautiful practice in trying to give other people grace, as opposed to that real like anxiety, road ragey kind of feeling driving around. And so like, the problem that we find when we are driving is that we are inherently taking things personally. Say if somebody, you know, has to make a turn quickly and they cut in front of you, you know, it's like, oh, what's wrong with you? You know, like they did that on purpose. Like their intent in doing that was to cut you off, to show you something that they are better, or to basically, in any way, we are not giving them the benefit of the doubt by judging what their intention was. So this is a really beautiful opportunity whenever, you know, somebody cuts in front of me or somebody's not looking. I can ask myself really quickly what circumstances could make this make sense. Maybe it's somebody that is new to town and they don't know where they're going. I've definitely been in that place. I can root into the compassion by being like, okay, maybe they are new here. Maybe they are maybe they just got some really bad news and they're on their way home. There's a lot of circumstances that could make somebody not make the best driving decision, right? I'm not 100%. I'm not an angel. I'm a human too. I have almost missed my turns. I have, you know, merged into lanes where there probably wasn't enough room because I had to, you know, get over. And I accept that within myself. So then I should provide that same grace externally. And it, knowing, as we talked about earlier, that it flows both ways, I can use that work to also then be knowing that that's going to come back to myself. So as hard as it is to give people a pass, I think of this practice as just giving people a pass. It's very possible. Maybe they are just not thinking, and maybe they are just being rude or to show you or whatever. Maybe they are, but there's also 101 other reasons that it could be. And part of just giving somebody a pass and giving them grace is acknowledging that other 99 and then saying, I don't really know out of these amount of options what it is. Well, for me to indeed take it personally would be outsourcing my personal peace, which we don't do anymore, right? So if I'm not going to take that personally, I'm going to recognize that, yeah, there's an option that they're doing this to be personal, or there's 99 to 101 other reasons why they aren't. So I'm going to choose to hold both and then couple that with the idea that I don't know. And there's no way I am going to know. So I'm going to not judge that it's one way or another. It is what it is. Where we put that energy, the universe takes it as a big neon sign that says, here's the thing, more please. So knowing that everything is energy, we put out what we bring back. We bring back what we put out. So when we put out grace, we put out flexibility, we put out forgiveness, then we are doubling that back to us. So not only can we navigate the situation itself easier, but we can also think of that as like investing in our future, right? The last problem that I want to touch on is when we create rules for other people, we create rules for ourselves too. And the judge is harsh, and she is not just. Humans are the only people with the brain function to be able to remember and re-punish themselves for something that happened a long time ago. If you think about it, in a just world, you do something and you pay for it once. Whereas when we have anxiety or when we have fixated thoughts, we go through and relive that experience and punish and judge ourselves over and over and over again. And that's shame. We go and we punish ourselves. And so when we create rules for other people, we create rules for ourselves. They are harsh, and we continue to go back and judge ourselves on these based off of this book of law, which is the equivalent of all of the conditioning, all of the beliefs that we have been given, the way that we have experienced the world. When we don't audit through those, when we don't look at our beliefs, when we don't bring those to our conscious and truly decide what is actually helpful for us and what's not, we take on all of that from other people by default. So it's not a just system when you get punished for the same thing over and over and over. And when we have repeated stimulus saying one thing, the brain continues to harden in that belief. As I spoke earlier, when we make a decision about something, our brain looks for stimulus to prove that right. So it's really, really, really hard to undo a belief that you have ascribed to 20,000 times. Like, red hair is ugly, it makes me genetically defective, and therefore I need to do whatever I can to get rid of it. That is something that I had conditioned and conditioned and conditioned, and then therefore had to decondition and decondition and decondition. Somebody else gave me that stimulus, and then when I took it on, I then gave that stimulus to myself and just did their hardening work for them from the inside. So then I had to undo. Does that make sense? I know I kind of went on a tangent, but I hope that some of that is landing for you too, because I want you to realize that if you have tried to do some of this reclaiming of yourself, and you have been bullied, and you are working on these wounds, and it has taken a long time, I hope that in hearing this that you can find compassion for yourself, because it is really hard work. Deconditioning is really hard work. It is worthy work, and it builds on itself. And even when you feel like you are not making any progress, you are. I love you, and I hope that that lands for you. When you allow yourself freedom to explore and you allow yourself joy, these other things can naturally start to fall away, but it is a progress and it takes time. As we close out this episode and we close out this little topic in our journey, I hope that this has empowered you to forge your own path, to become more aware of the internal dialogue that you are having, and to help bring space between you and your judgments that you have picked up, the beliefs that you have picked up, and the ways that those have had you playing small. You are worthy of an absolutely beautiful life of your highest evolvement, your highest iteration of yourself. Now go out there and get it. You've got this. Thank you so much for joining me on this episode of the Unlearning Podcast. If you enjoyed the show, the biggest compliment that you can give is to rate and review on whatever platform you're using. You can find information for one-on-one coaching, full show notes, and tools at my website links below. Until next time, keep unlearning.